RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello, listener. Welcome back to our English program of Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, Focus and News in Brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. To conclude our program for today, we'll present you our daily segment, Music Corner. That's our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here's the news, read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. The government indicates pre-vote to continue operation after 2021. Indonesia denies monitoring Papua through MSG. Hercules transporting bodies of crash victims aborts flight. Now the news in detail. The government of Indonesia has signaled it will extend the operating permit of Freeport Indonesia beyond 2021 after the company agreed a series of concessions and pledged to invest more than $20 billion to expand its operation on Thursday. According to Energy and Mineral Resources Minister Sudirman Said, the government has taken steps to ensure the continuation of the company's operation. The comments follow a meeting between President Joko Widodo and James Moffat, the chief executive Freeport McMoRan, at Merdeka Palace in Jakarta on Thursday. It is understood the president indicated he would approve the completion of the miner's current contract award to a special mining business permit, EOP. Freeport's contract expired in 2021, but the company is only able to apply for an extension 2 years before the contract expires. Minister Sudirman said the government was looking for a legal solution toward around the regulation. Indonesian government has denied speculation that it is trying to weaken the influence of the Melanesian spearhead group MSG over Papua after the MSG granted a Papuan resistance group an observer status. Indonesian Foreign Ministry said on Thursday that the government had no hidden motives in its support to join as the newest member of the MSG. Indonesia has 11 million Melanesians. If this is to combine the whole population of the MSG member countries, Indonesia is the biggest Melanesian country. This was stated by the minister's spokesperson, Armanata Nasir, to reporters on the sidelines of the press briefing in Jakarta. Foreign minister officials have made a round of diplomatic trips in the region in recent months as MSG member governments are struggling to balance their growing ties with Jakarta while providing support to regional grassroots movement dedicated to securing rights to the indigenous people of West Papua, where a separatist conflict has been simmering for decades. A Hercules A1321 airplane carrying the bodies of 8 victims of recent plane crash and their family members aborted its flight from Suwondo Air Force Base in Medan, North Sumatra on Friday due to an engine malfunction. The plane was scheduled to leave at 6:30 a.m. local time with the bodies of victims from another Hercules aircraft that crashed shortly after taking off in Medan on Tuesday as it en route to Pekanbaru Riau, Ranai in Natuna, Riau Islands, and Malan, East Java. There were 113 passengers on the Hercules C-130 aircraft that crashed into a residential area on Tuesday. All passengers as well as number of local residents were killed in the tragedy. Air Force Operation Commander Rear Marshal Agus Dwi Putranto said that the engine disruption on the A-21 aircraft was not severe. It was not too severe as it was like a short circuit on battery. re-headed its usual inmation and it could happen to any aircraft. The number of foreign tourist arrivals in North Sulawesi has increased. According to North Sulawesi Culture and Tourism Office, data showing that 2,868 foreign visitors had visited the province up until May, compared to 2,395 in 2014. Office head Charles Samuel Taju said German tourists dominated this year's figure with 262 visitors followed by Japanese 201 and Americans 200. Taju also pointed out on Tuesday that the number of tourist locations has also increased, but Bunaken Island is still the main tourist spot visited by tourists. Meanwhile, Manado Aston Hotel General Manager Bamban said that the number of guests staying at the hotel had also risen. This news is coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Rupiah interbank trade rate in Jakarta strengthened by 17 basis points to 13,308 rupiah per dollar on Friday morning from 13,325 rupiah per dollar in the previous trade. The rupiah rate moves into the positive area even though its movement is limited as investors wait for the result of the grid referendum and the creditors' response to them. Monex Investindo Future Research Section Head Ariston Chandra said, as quoted by Antara News Agency, he said the U.S. dollar was weakened by the release of the U.S. non-farm payrolls in June, which was below market expectations. Other economic data would function as market movers, including the service sector activity index in Spain and Britain and retail sales in the Eurozone. Data of the service sector activity and sales in Europe will contribute greatly to global financial markets, he said. Chief Researcher of NH Karindo Securities Indonesia Reza Priyambada said that he hopes a manifesto for the acceleration of restructured finance disbursement by the government in the second semester would give positive sentiment to the domestic currency. The two-day rapid chess tournament, the Sonai's Ramadan Cup, will begin on Saturday at Wisma Menpora Senayan, Central Jakarta, with the prices on offer increasing attractiveness. This year's event will afford total prize money of 62.7 million rupiah, or around $4,704, more than 10% increase from last year's around 56 million rupiah. The tournament will feature 25-minute games using the Swiss system or non-elimination format, and the result will count in the national rating imposed since January 2015. Some 200 participants were reported to have registered for the tournament on Tuesday. Registration is open until 3 o'clock p.m. Friday at the Indonesian Chess Association headquarters at the Gate 6 of the Gelora Bung Karno Main Stadium. Registration forms are also available from Java Chess Club at Jalan Daan Mogot, Kilometer 12, Number 9, West Jakarta. The Jakarta Chess Association at the Koni Building at Jalan Tanah Abang 1 in Central Jakarta and Square Bekasi at Jalan Siliwangi Number 17, Rawapanjang, Bekasi. Indonesian Trade Minister cooperates with Garuda Indonesia to take advantage of the national flag carrier. The cooperation also aims to increase trade and to realize good governance of the Minister of Trade. The cooperation was marked by the signing of Memorandum of Understanding by the Trade Minister Rahmat Gobel and President Director of Garuda Indonesia M. Arief Wibowo in Jakarta on Thursday. On the occasion, Mr. Rahmat Gobel said the role of air transport services is essential to increase trading activity.
Merupakan upaya meningkatkan, memberikan kemudahan kepada fasilitas dari Garuda.
It is an effort to provide convenience for Garuda facility, especially for Indonesian exporters to the rest of the world. As we know that the Minister of Trade targeted a 300% increase in exports. This is a remarkable figure that would require a breakthrough what we can do, what services we can provide to our exporters and importers with which we have better relations. Tutup. Minister Gobel realizes that Indonesian better cooperation with various countries needs logistic support. On the same occasion, Garuda President Director M. Arief Wibowo said that this cooperation is a commitment of Garuda as a national flag carrier to support the government's programs. He hoped that such cooperation can contribute to improve Indonesian economy.
Minister Goebel realizes that Indonesian bilateral cooperation with various countries needs logistic support. On the same occasion, Garuda Director President Director M. Arif Wah said that this cooperation is a commitment of Garuda as a national freight carrier to support government's programs. We hope that such cooperation can contribute to improve Indonesian economy. The last item, Indonesia becomes an associate member of the Melanesian Spearhead Group, MSG, at the MSG summit that took place in Honiara City, Solomon Islands on June 24 until 26, 2015. Previously, Indonesia was only an observer from the organization for the people who are living in the Black Island, a region of Western Pacific to the Arafura Sea. The spokesperson of Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry, Armanata Kristiawan Nasir, at a press conference in Jakarta on Tuesday said that the chain of membership in MSG will provide benefits for Indonesian people, whose 11 million of its population are Melanesians.
KTT MSG yang dilaksanakan tanggal 24-26 Juni lalu.
The MSG summit was held in Honiara, Solomon Islands on 24th until 26th of June. That's right, in the summit meeting, Indonesia, which was an observer at the organization, now is appointed as an associate member. This is an increase of membership. That's good for Indonesia. It is profitable because in Indonesia there are 11 million Melanesians in 5 provinces such as in Papua, West Papua Maluku, North Maluku and West Nusa Tenggara provinces.
Furthermore, Armanata Nasir said one of the main focuses of President Joko Widodo's government is to be close and to develop the relationship with the Pacific countries joining the organization that has been established since 1986. According to Armanata Nasir, since the beginning of its formation, the Malaysian Spearhead Group, MSG, has focused more on political issues, but in 1993 summit, MSG had changed its focus to other issues such as economic, social and development with the establishment of free trade agreement among MSG member countries. Armanata Nasir denied Indonesian participation in MSG will provide recognition from the Pacific countries to Papua and West Papua as a separate part of the entire state of Republic of Indonesia. On the contrary, all of the Pacific countries incorporated in MSG fully support the two regions as part of Indonesia. The Malaysian Spearhead Group MSG organization consists of some member states such as Fiji, Indonesia, Papua New Guinea, Solomon Islands, Vanuatu, New Caledonia and East Timor, with majority of population live in Indonesia. That's news from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Here is today's commentary on U.S.-Cuba normalization of diplomatic relations. January the 3rd, 1961 was the last day for the U.S. diplomatic mission in Cuba. At the time, U.S. President Dwight Eisenhower closed the U.S. embassy in Havana after Fidel Castro, as the leftist, was in power and strengthened the relationship with the Soviet Union. Then the closure was followed by a worsening relationship, although geographically both countries are close. The peak of the worsening relationship was that U.S. failed to invade Baby Bay and Cuban nuclear missile crisis. Now, 54 years later, the U.S. President Barack Obama and Cuban President Raul Castro agreed to close bad relations in the history of bilateral ties by establishing diplomatic relations. In a statement, President Obama announced at the White House on Wednesday, July the 1st, that the two countries agreed to improve bilateral relations. In the agreement, the embassies of Cuba and the United States will be opened in respective capital no later than July 20th. President Obama considered this as an historic step forward and becomes a new chapter in the U.S.-Cuban relations as well as Latin America. President Obama will send Secretary of State John Kerry to visit Havana and hoist the U.S. flag at its embassy in Havana. Head of the U.S. Interest Section in Havana, Jeffrey DeLawrence, is predicted to become the first U.S. ambassador after the re-establishment of relations between the two countries. He will hand over his credentials to Cuban President Raul Castro. In a letter to President Obama, Cuban President Raul Castro expressed his wishes to establish bilateral relations and cooperation between the two nations in the state of mutual respect. The bilateral diplomatic relations to be soon re-established after 18 months of secret talks between officials of the two countries were mediated by Vatican. In December 2014, the two countries agreed to start re-establishing a new relationship which is friendlier. Furthermore, U.S. President Barack Obama and Cuban President Raul Castro met on the sidelines of the official summit of the Americas in April. In May, the United States removed Cuba from the list of state sponsors of terrorism. President Barack Obama said in a statement that the policy isolating Cuba as a communist state has failed and the policy was the remnant of the old era that has passed. President Obama also does not want to maintain other policies that cannot be executed. However, maybe the policy initiated by President Obama to normalize relations with Cuba will get resistance from Congress. He called for a Republican-dominated Congress to stop the economic embargo against Cuba that has been applied since 1962. Will President Barack Obama be able to convince the Congress? We will see the response of U.S. Congress next. Well, listener, that was commentary.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Welcome back to Today in History, a daily segment of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, which brings back people and events from this day in the past as recorded in history. We start from July the 3rd, 1935, founder of the world automotive industry André Citroën dies. Born in Paris in 1878, André Gustave was the fifth and last child of Jewish parents, diamond merchant Levi Citroën from the Netherlands and Maka Kleinman of Warsaw, Poland. The Citroën family moved to Paris from Amsterdam in 1873. His father committed suicide when André was 6 years old, or presumably after failure in a business adventure in a diamond mine in South Africa. It is reputed that the young André was inspired by the works of Jules Verne and had been the construction of the Eiffel Tower for the World Exhibition, making him want to become an engineer. André was a graduate of the École Polytechnique in 1900. In 1906, he was installed as a director of the automotive company, where he was very successful. During World War I, he was responsible for mass production of armaments. Citroën founded the Citroën Automobile Company in 1919, leading it to become the fourth largest automobile manufacturer in the world by the early 1930s. He died in Paris, France, of stomach cancer in 1935. On July the 3rd, 1996, President Boris Yeltsin is re-elected to be the Russian president. Russian President Boris Yeltsin was re-elected through the head of Russian Confederation with 53.5% of vote. His main rival was from Communist Party, Gennady Zyuganov, who only reached 40.5% of vote. Boris Yeltsin, who was elected as president in June 1991, cannot finish his second term of office due to the economic pressure and conflict in Kosovo. Boris Yeltsin resigned on December 31, 1999, to give chances to Prime Minister Vladimir Putin become president. The last historical event on today's segment of Today in History, Baharudin Lopa dies on July 3, 2001. Baharudin Lopa was born in Polewali Mandar, West Sulawesi on August 27, 1935. He attended Hasanuddin University, majored in law, and graduated in 1962. Lopa then had a lengthy career as an attorney, including services as a district attorney at the State District Attorney Office in Ujung Pandang from 1958 to 1960 and head of the State District Attorney Office in Ternate 1964 to 1966. In 1982, Lopa was appointed head of the High District Attorney Office in South Sulawesi. At the same time, he obtained a doctoral degree in law from the Faculty of Law Diponegoro University. Between 1993 and 1998, Lopa was a member of Indonesia's National Commission on Human Rights, Komnas HAM, where he served as Secretary General. During his career as an attorney, Lopa was famous for his harsh attitude toward corruption. In February 2001, Lopa was appointed Minister of Justice and Human Rights by then Indonesian President Abdurrahman Wahid, replacing Yusril Iza Mahendra. On June 6, 2001, while still serving as Justice Minister, Baharudin Lopa was appointed Attorney General, replacing Marzuki Darusman. He promised to persecute powerful politicians and tycoons suspected of corruption. Within less than 1 month, on June 30, 2001, Lopa fell ill during a flight to Saudi Arabia, and he died on July 3, 2001, at the age of 66 in a hospital in Riyadh. Listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Hello listener, welcome back to Focus from RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's topic is revamping TNI main weaponry system. In the commemoration of 16th National Police Day or Bayangkara Day, in the commander base of National Police Mobile Brigade, Depok, West Java, on Wednesday, July the 1st, President Joko Widodo instructed fundamental revamp in the management of main weaponry system or alutsista in the TNI. The president also asked TNI to strengthen the zero accident system in the weaponry use. President responded the TNI's Hercules C-130 accident in Medan, North Sumatra on Tuesday, June 30th. Then President instructed the Defense Ministry and TNI commander to revamp the fundamental elements of TNI main weaponry system management. Further, the weaponry supply system must be changed. According to the President, weapon supplying cannot be only about buying, but must also include the weaponry system modernization. Domestic defense industry, according to the President, must be involved from planning, production, operational, maintenance training to the demolition of old weapons. In separate occasion, the chairman of Nahdlatul Ulama, Kiai Haji Said Aqil Siraj, supported the President's statement on the importance of thorough weaponry system evaluation. He added, the President's instruction should be applied. In the meantime, during the fit and proper test as the TNI commander candidate with Commission 1 House of Representatives in Senayan, TNI Chief of Staff General Gatot Normantio expressed his commitment to modernize the system.
According to him, the modernization is urgent to support TNI minimum main force. Secretary of TNI Air Force Information Department, Sri Gustiningsih, said, "Now the Air Force prepared compensation and insurance for the soldier and civil worker of the Air Force who become the victim of the accident." She said, "The compensation follows the cooperation regulation between the Air Force with Bumiputra Insurance 1912. The insurance varies from 350 million to 500 million rupiah. Besides insurance, the Air Force soldiers and civil workers also received several compensation. In the meantime, member of the House's Commission 1, Tubagus Hasanuddin, said that the cause of the Hercules accident was the age. The plane was produced in 1954 in United States, which then received by Indonesia in 1959 to 1960. The plane had undergone several machine replacements and repairs in Singapore. According to Tubagus, this condition indicates that the planes of the Air Force need renewal. The renewal should not be done with old parts, but by buying new ones. Tubagus added, "The main weaponry system, which includes plane, cannon, tank, heavy weapons, and battleships, have time limit. The maximum usage is 20 years. Therefore, if the weaponry has been used for 15 years, preparation to replace them is necessary." That was Focus.
Here are the headlines of several national newspapers published today, Friday, July the 3rd, 2015. I'm Daulat Pane. We start with Kompas newspaper. Kompas, in its headline, writes, "Victim identification is constrained." The police of the Republic of Indonesia conveyed that the process of identifying the victims of the Hercules C-130 belongs to the Indonesian National Army Air Force experienced a slowdown from this moment onwards. This is due to the primary and secondary data of the dead body that is unrecognizable. Therefore, the police asked the victim's family to be patient. Media Indonesia, in its headline, writes, "TNI investigate counterfeit spare parts." The Indonesian military TNI commander promised to impose sanctions on persons who cannibalized and commercialized Hercules C-130. TNI takes 2 weeks to investigate the cause of the plane crash of Hercules C-130 at Jalan Jamin Ginting, Medan, North Sumatra on Tuesday, June 30, including cannibalism and counterfeit spare parts. TNI Commander General Muldoko said the focus of investigation includes technical and non-technical sides such as procedures, mechanisms, and operations. While Republika writes the aircraft engine had a problem, the Air Force data finding team said it had completed the initial data collection of Hercules plane C-130 flight number A1310. Crash in Medan, Sumatra on Tuesday, June 30. The tentative conclusions, according to the Air Force Chief of Staff, Marshal Agus Supriyatna, the elevated Hercules plane was crashed due to hit the antenna tower after one of the engines died. We end with Business Indonesia. The newspaper, in its headlines, writes, "Legal solution is prepared." The government is preparing legal solutions to maintain the continuity of operations of PT Freeport Indonesia, which will be expire in the coming 2021. To discuss the continuation of the contract, Chairman of the Board of Freeport McMoRan Incorporation, James R. Moffitt, along with Freeport Indonesia President Director Maruf Samsudin, met with President Joko Widodo, accompanied by Minister of Energy and Mineral Resources Sudirman Said in Jakarta on Thursday. According to Sudirman, the government has the intention to maintain continuity of Freeport's operations in Indonesia after its contract expires in 2021. Well, listener, that was headlines of national newspaper published in Jakarta today.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Here news in brief, read by Rahmana. The government has signaled it will extend the operating permit of Freeport Indonesia beyond 2021 after the company agreed a series of concessions and pledged to invest more than $20 billion to expand its operation on Thursday. Indonesian government has denied speculation that it is trying to weaken the influence of the Melanesian spearhead growth MSG over Papua after the MSG granted a Papuan resistance growth and observer status. Indonesian Foreign Minister said on Tuesday that the government had no hidden motives in its bid to join as the newest member of the MSG. A Hercules A1321 airplane carrying the bodies of 8 victims of recent plane crash and their family members aborted its flight from Suwondo Air Force Base in Medan, North Sumatra on Friday due to an engine malfunction. The number of foreign tourist arrivals in North Sulawesi has increased, according to North Sulawesi Culture and Tourism Office data showing that 2,868 foreign visitors have visited the province up until May, compared to 2,395 in 2014. Office head Charles Samuel Taju said German tourists dominated this year's figure with 262 visitors, followed by Japanese 201 and Americans 200. Rupiah interbank trade rate in Jakarta strengthened by 17 basis points to 13,308 rupiah per dollar on Friday morning from 30,325 rupiah per dollar in the previous trade. The rupiah rate moves into positive area even though its movement is limited as investors wait for the result of the Great Referendum and the creditor respond to them. The two-day chess tournament, the So Nice Ramadan Cup, will begin on Saturday at Wisma Menpora Senayan Central Jakarta with the prices on offer increasing attractiveness. This year's event will award total prize money of 62.7 million rupiah, around $4,704, more than 10% increase from the last year, 56 million rupiah. Indonesian Trade Minister cooperates with Garuda Indonesia to take advantage of the national flag carrier. The cooperation also aims to increase trade and to realize good governance at the Ministry of Trade. Indonesia becomes an associate member of the Melanesian Spearhead Group MSG at the MSG Summit that took place in Honiara City, Solomon Islands on June 24 until 26, 2015. Previously, Indonesia was only an observer from the Organization for the People Who Are Living in the Black Island, a region of Western Pacific to the Arafura Sea. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
This is Indonesia. Here is Indonesia. This is Indonesia. You will be delighted to see the beauty of Indonesia for free by taking part in Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2015. Answer the following questions. 1. When and where was the independence of Indonesia proclaimed? 2. Who read the proclamation text of Indonesia's independence on the radio for the first time? A. Yusuf Ronodipuro. B. Abdul Rahman Saleh. 3. When is RRI's anniversary? 4. Mention 3 tourism places in Indonesia that you want to visit and give the reasons. 5. How do you listen to RRI World Service programs and give the reasons? 6. What programs do you like most? 7. What are your suggestions for Voice of Indonesia's programs? 8. What is your opinion about the website of Voice of Indonesia? Send your answer along with your brief bio data as well as copy of your passport or passport number and its expired date to voiquiz2015@gmail.com. voiquiz2015@gmail.com before August 11, 2015. You may be the lucky one to get the main prize, which is coming to Indonesia.
You're still tuning in to The Voice of Indonesia, broadcasting daily from Jakarta. And listener, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello, listener. It is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, I invite you to travel to the Bangka Belitung province. So stay tuned. Listener, off the east coast of Sumatra, flanked by the Gaspar Strait and the Strait of Karimata, there is a charming island with beautiful beaches and breathtaking scenery. It is Belitung Island or Belitung. It was told in a legend that the island of Belitung was from a rock called Baginda Stone. The legend tells about the piece of Bali island that drifted up to Sumatra, so that the name is derived from the word Bali terpotong, which later pronounced Belitung. The stone piece was thought to be the origin of Belitung Island, still exists today, and can be found during a visit to one of the charming beaches in the Pacific Islands, Penyabung Beach. Penyabung Beach is located in the Batu Lubang Hamlet, Padang Kandis Village, Membalung Sub-District, Belitung. To reach Penyabung Beach, you have to travel overland as far as 70 kilometers from Tanjung Pandan, the capital of Belitung Regency. Belitung itself can be reached by plane from Jakarta with a travel time of about 45 minutes. During the trip to the Penyabung Beach, you will be presented with a view of local fruit plantation and oil palm plantations. Prior to Penyabung Beach, you will be amazed when you see two large pieces of granite and towering birds through the dense of the forest. This stone was named Batu Baginda or Baginda Stone as the origin of the Belitung Island. Listener, Penyabung Beach has a cluster of granite rocks which are very much scattered around the beach. This large granite connects with other granite stones and juts into the sea that resembles a natural breakwater. The existence of a cluster of large granite rocks that extends and connects makes this beach's name Penyabung. Penyabung word means connected. In addition to large rocks, here you can see sea pandanus trees that grow line up neatly along the edge of this beach. The views of the islands in the middle of the sea provide beautiful panorama of this beach. One of the islands can be seen from here is Belatuk Island, that is in a elongated shape and covered by green trees.
Penyabung Beach has white sand. Its waves are clear and clean, so it is safe and comfortable to swim. In addition to swimming, you can try to climb the granite and see the open sea. It will be a fun activity on this beach. The facility at this beach is quite complete. There is a tarlatan, a range, a prayer room made of boards. And if you are hungry, you do not need to worry, because there are simple stalls selling snacks, coconut milk, and seafood around the beach. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Pantai Penyabung. We will meet again with other interesting topic and see you. Bye-bye.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello VOI listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Miscellany with me, Rahma. Today's edition presents you the story behind the moving capital city of Indonesia from Jakarta to Yogyakarta in 1946. Since the era of colonialism, Jakarta, which was known as Batavia, has become the capital city of Indonesia. However, after Indonesia gaining independence from any kind of colonialism, the capital city of Indonesia was moved to Yogyakarta Autonomous Region. The moving capital city of Indonesia was triggered by situation in Jakarta, which was not conducive to become the government center. At that time, Allied troops have landed, while Japanese soldiers still stayed. Riot was getting tense following political conflict between figures in Indonesia. Some plots of murder threatened Indonesian top officials. The conflict disturbed the governance. With the initiative and offer from the first Yogyakarta governor, Sri Sultan Hamengkubuwono IX, the central government was allowed to move by sending couriers on January 2, 1946. The offer was warmly welcomed by the government in Jakarta. On January 4, 1946, the Indonesian president and vice president moved to Yogyakarta. The capital moving managed to run the administration. The offer of the 9th Sri Sultan Hamengkubuwono reflected courage and patriotism. The moving capital to Yogyakarta was not without reason. Deputy Minister of Information Ali Sastroamidjojo told Radio Republik Indonesia that there were two reasons to move the capital city to Yogyakarta. First, security in Jakarta as the capital city of Indonesia was threatened. Secondly, Yogyakarta was the readiest region to accept the independence of Indonesia from the sides of politics, economy, and security. Besides, it was Yogyakarta that announced the independence of Indonesia through Gede Kauman Mosque after being proclaimed in Jakarta. We'll be right back. It obviously showed that Yogyakarta was able to give legitimacy and contribution to the development of the Indonesian government. The central leaders saw that the administration and leadership in Yogyakarta was very strong because it was a kingdom under the strong duumvirate. The moving capital city from Jakarta to Yogyakarta clearly proved the assurance of the central government on the commitment of Yogyakarta to Indonesia. For 3 years, Kraton Yogyakarta Palace and Puro Pakualaman supported the administration and the struggle of Indonesia. Well, VOI listener, that ends today's miscellany on the story behind the moving capital city of Indonesia to Yogyakarta. I'm Rahma. Thanks for listening.
Meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back with me, Rahma, in our regular segment, Music Corner, which introduces you Indonesian music, both traditional and modern ones. Today's religious edition presents you Senada Music Group. To begin our program, here is a song by Senada entitled Jagalah Hati. Enjoy!
Bersih, pikiran pun akan jernih, semangat hidup dan gigih, prestasi mudah diraih.
Namun bila hati keruh, batin selalu gemuruh, seakan dikejar musuh, dengan Allah kian jauh.
Jagalah hati, jangan kau kotori, jagalah hati, lentera hidup ini. Jagalah hati, jangan kau nodai, jagalah.
Hati kian suci, tak ada yang tersakiti. Pribadi menawan hati, ciri mumin sejati.
Namun bila hati busuk, pikiran jahat merasuk, akhlak kian terpuruk, jadi makhluk terkutuk.
Jagalah hati, jangan kau kotori. Jagalah hati, lentera hidup ini. Jagalah hati, jangan kau nodai. Jagalah.
Kian lapang, hidup sempit rasa senang. Walau kesulitan datang, dihadapi dengan tenang.
Tapi bila hati sempit, segalanya jadi rumit. Seakan terus menghimpit, lahir batin terasa sakit.
Jagalah hati, jangan kau kotori. Jagalah hati, lentera hidup ini. Jagalah hati, jangan kau nodai. Jagalah.
Listener, in 2000, Senada started gaining fame in Indonesia through songs called Neo Salawat and Jagalah Hati. The religious group, which carries a cappella format, which got a name for the group from a popular Kiai or Muslim scholar, Kiai Haji Toto Tasmara, becomes the icon of Indonesian nasyid or religious a cappella. Senada paved the way for all young nasyid groups to emerge amazingly in Indonesia. They are the first nasyid group to bring nasyid to schools, campus, hotel, wedding reception, conference, as well as local, national, and even international events. Well, listener, before we get closer to Senada, let's enjoy a song by Senada entitled Saat Ajal Menjelang. Happy listening.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم كل نفس ذائقة الموت وإنما توفون أجوركم يوم القيامة فمن زحزح عن النار وأدخل الجنة فقد فاز وما الحياة الدنيا إلا متاع الغرور
Di saat ajal kan datang menjelang Malaikat Izrail mainkan peran Nyawa tercabut tubuh pun meregang Allahu Akbar janjimu telah datang Dah pun keluh, bibir pun membisu Seluruh tubuh kaku dan membeku Kenikmatan dunia pun berlalu Mohon ampunan sudah tak berlaku
Tiada lagi tempat pertolongan Kecuali amal dan perbuatan Semasa hidup membentang zaman Ridho ilahi yang didambakan
Ajalkan datang menjelang Malaikat Israel mainkan peran Nyawa tercabut tubuh pun meregang Allahu Akbar janjimu telah datang Sebesar zarah pun diperhitungkan Kebaikan yang telah kita amalkan Sebesar zarah pun diperhitungkan Keburukan yang telah kita lakukan
Di saat ajal kan datang menjelang Malaikat Israel mainkan peran Nyawa tercabut
Listener, since it was formed in 1991 by Agus Edward Jumhadi or IIT Erwin Yahya or Ewing, and M. Lukman Nun Hashim or Lukman, Senada has made various surprises. Senada was formed when Erwin, Lukman, and Agus often gathered in the campus musola or small mosque in 1991. They studied at the School of Social and Political Science at the University of Indonesia. At that time, nasyid was not really popular. At first, the group's name was Trio APS, which stands for Trio Administrasi Perkantoran dan Sekretaris, or Office and Secretary Administration Trio. They then joined Poet Musicalization and Nasyid. It encouraged Erwin, Lukman, and Agus to form Nasyid Group. This group establishment was also encouraged by an issue in Palestine at that time. Ahead of its 24th year of their career journey, Senada has received various awards in music, including Platinum Award in Blackboard for the fantastic selling in their album, Neo Salawat. The success of Senada has brought them abroad to Malaysia, China, Singapore, and many more. According to Senada, they formed Senada A Cappella to make all people can enjoy nasyid. Alright, listener, that's our today's edition of Music Corner. And here are two closing songs by Senada, entitled Kasih Putih and La Haula. Enjoy the songs and I'll see you again in another edition of Music Corner.
Dalam dunia ini Banyak yang tiada mengerti Hidup yang dijalani Mesti berbeda terbagi dalam cinta kasih kita bersama berdiri bergenggaman jemari menyatukan hati dia berikan kepada seluruh manusia kasih karena kita semua tiada berbeda. Bila kau mau sadari cinta kasih tak memilih, oh, kau dan aku kita semua sama. Bila kau mau berbagi apalagi yang dinanti. Kasih putih karunia ilahi. Bersama berdiri bergenggaman jemari menyatukan hati dia berikan kepada seluruh manusia kasih sayang karena kita semua tiada berbeda. Bila kau mau sadari cinta kasih tak memilih, oh, 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 kau dan aku kita semua sama. Bila kau mau berbagi apalagi yang dinanti. Kasih putih karunia ilahi. Bila kau mau sadari cinta kasih tak memilih, oh, kau dan aku kita semua sama. Bila kau mau berbagi apalagi yang dinanti. Oh, kasih putih karunia ilahi.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.